You're listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto West. For more information, please visit harvesttorontowest.ca.
All right, so we're continuing in a series right now called I Follow Christ. And if you're visiting with us today, I just want to welcome you. Thank you so much for being here. We're glad you are here. But I believe that this morning's message is going to be really significant and important, specifically for every person that calls this church their home. And God has a word for us today, specifically for every person that calls this church their home. But if this is not your home, I believe God has a very specific word for you as well. And so I want all of us to have our hearts open and ready. I just want to review a little bit about where we've been in this series. Again, if you're new or it's your first time here, or you just joined us in recent weeks, we're in this series unpacking what we're calling the 5G life. What does it mean to be a true disciple of Christ? We saw that so many people fill churches around the city, so many hundreds and hundreds of people. But I wonder if you went up to each individual person and asked them, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? I mean, you may get some good answers, but I don't know if you'd get a full answer in many places. And so the very first section of our series, we focused on what the Bible shows us is the theology of a true disciple. And now in this second part of the series, we're focused on the practical application of what it means to be a true disciple. And the practical application, as I said, is what we're calling the 5G life. The goal of the series, as I said, is that each one of us in this church understand clearly what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And I want to remind you, there's a flowchart on the screen for you right now of the theology of the series. It's contained in three key words. And these are three key words that I want you to know. And I want you to understand. I want, if people come up to you and ask you, well, what does it mean to follow Christ? Well, you can highlight these three things: abide, connect, and share. Every true disciple of Jesus Christ does these three things, and these three things are all based in relationships, because the Christian life, loved ones, is really all about relationships. Now, this is modeled after Jesus Christ himself. If you go through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will find Jesus engaged in one of these three relationships all the time. All the time. He's either abiding in his Father, he's either connecting with the disciples, or he's sharing with the world. Jesus Christ on earth had three key relationships that characterized his life and his ministry: relationship with God, relationship with other believers, and relationship with the world. He's never not engaged in one of these three things, you have to understand. And so we've been saying that the life of a Christ follower then is not us trying to work hard to follow Jesus. I just got to get a little bit better and do a little bit more. That's not what following Jesus is. Following Jesus Christ is letting the life of Jesus Christ that dwells in us be lived out through us. And it's just not me trying harder to do better. It's actually me submitting myself to him in such a way that he lives in me and through me. And so, therefore, the life of a true Christ follower must be characterized by these three relationships. These are ways we must use our time: abiding in Jesus Christ, connecting with other believers, and sharing with the world. That's the theology that we unpacked. And then we saw the practical outworking of it in order. How do I do this? How do I abide? How do I connect? How do I share? How do I do it? Well, we saw that in order to abide in Jesus Christ, every true disciple must invest in what we're calling God time daily. That's time spent alone with God. That's the first G of the 5G life: God time daily. I'm so blessed because after our God time message, I've been hearing from people, getting emails from people saying, my God time is like never before. My time spent with the Lord is like never before. God is working in our midst. But if we want to be true disciples, we have to abide in him. And how do we do that? We invest in God time. In order to truly connect then with the body, every true disciple must invest in two G's here: gather time and group time. If you want to understand what it means to be a true disciple, you have to understand the theology of connect. There's no such thing as a disciple that's on their own on an island, not connected to anyone else. That contradicts the theology of what it means to be a disciple. We unpacked all of this. And so how do I connect? Well, we highlight two things. There's a thing that we call gather time. That's weekly worship. It's the weekly worship gathering. So many of us, we think we can listen to the podcast or watch the guy on TV preach. That's not church. A practical way to live out true discipleship in your life by connecting with other people is to be at the weekly gathering. No excuses. I'm going to be here. I'm going to worship Christ, and I'm going to connect with the body. The second G in that section of connect is group time. We're going to unpack that today. What does it mean that we are actually doing life together? Because we're going to see that true discipleship is marked by this life together among believers. And then how do we share with the world? Every true disciple must invest in what we're calling give time and go time. We're going to get there in the weeks to come. Give time. In other words, time invested in giving of my treasure, of my talent, of my resources, of my giftings in the church and beyond the church. That's how I share. And then go time. Go time. Each of us must be convinced of the Great Commission that Jesus Christ has left for us. It's not for someone else to do. It's not for the pastor to do. It's not for the elders to carry out. It's for the entire body. We are on a mission. And how do we share with the world? We're committed to investing time, going, and making disciples of all nations. And so what the Bible continues to show us is that there are five specific ways true disciples of Christ spend their time. Five specific ways: abiding, connecting, and sharing, God time, gather time, group time, give time, go time. My prayer is that this church is full of true, genuine disciples who are living this 5G life, and you will see and begin to notice how God is working and doing wonders in your life. So with that, we're going to jump into group time today. If you have your Bible, I want you to take it and go with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, you can slip up your hand, and one of the ushers on either side would love to put a copy of the Word of God in your hand. If you don't own a Bible, that Bible will be our gift to you. We'd love you to take it home and read it and have your life changed by the Word of God. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And while you're turning there, I want to give you a bit of the context. Before we jump in, we need to understand Acts chapter 1, Jesus commissions his disciples, gives them the Great Commission. He ascends to heaven. Since then, they've gotten into the upper room to pray and to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the day of Pentecost comes and the Holy Spirit is poured out. The disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't take long for crowds to begin to gather to wonder what exactly is happening here. And so what we're finding here as we approach Acts chapter 2 is a small group of about 120 people became a massive group of 3,000 people. And the church of Jesus Christ is established on that day. That's the context of Acts chapter 2. And now we jump into verse 42. And this is what it says. It says this of the early Christians: and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There's some important things I want you, loved ones, to get your arms around. I want you to get your mind around. I want you to get your heart around in this passage of Scripture. Number one, I want you to write this down. True disciples of Jesus Christ, we've already noticed this, must connect with one another. Write this down now. Regularly and intentionally. True disciples of Jesus Christ must connect with one another regularly and intentionally. Like I said, the New Testament knows nothing of a believer who is on their own. It's not there. It's not found. You will not find it because by necessity, our theology shows us that we are one body in Christ, all members of one another. That means that we are engaged in relationship together regularly and intentionally. So far from a weekly gathering for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, life in the early church is actually characterized by life together, and this is an important word. They were together regularly and intentionally. On the screen, if you remember how the Apostle Paul laid it out for us in Romans chapter 12, he said this, "For as in one body we have many members." This is the theology on which all of this is based on. "And the members do not all have the same function." He says, "So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." So some of us, we like to live on our own. We like to do things by ourselves. We don't want people to come around us. We want to stay private. I'm telling you, that's not what true discipleship is. I'm just telling you. Some of us, the Bible is just pushing up against us now. It's pressing up against us because we like our privacy. We like to be on our own. The scriptures show us, if you want to understand what it means to be a true disciple, you must understand that true discipleship means we connect with one another regularly and intentionally. And the analogy Paul gives us is unbreakable and it's unshakable. We are one body, all individually members of it. Jesus Christ is the head, and my hand can't say to the foot, he doesn't need it. We all need each other. And so we are not islands, but we belong together. And so the first Christians show us the belonging to one another as one body is seen most visibly in our enduring commitment to Jesus, but that spills over into, and listen, an enduring commitment to one another. An enduring commitment to be together regularly and intentionally. That's the thread being woven throughout the book of Acts in the early church. They were together regularly and intentionally, not infrequently and by accident, but regularly and intentionally they were together. Notice it in the beginning, verse 41 to 42 now. It says this in 41. "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000. Big church right away. And what did they do? 42. They devoted themselves. Let's stop right here. The word devoted here is a reference to remaining, to continuing, to enduring steadfastly, to never giving up on. What exactly is a strong, biblical, life-giving church community? What is it? Well, Acts chapter 2 shows us it's a community of people who are so gripped by the gospel of Jesus Christ that they devote themselves, they commit themselves to a number of things we're going to unpack in a few moments, but they commit themselves to these things we're about to unpack, listen, together. Together. There's not one guy over here saying, I'm committed over here by myself. I love Jesus alone. No, if you love Jesus, you love his church. There's not a small group of people over here, well, I love Jesus, and we're going to be over here, but we don't care about the rest of the church. No, if you love Jesus, you love his church, because the Bible says Jesus Christ died for the church, and he shed his blood for the church. And so regular and intentional gathering and being together is key, and it's a key thread being woven in Acts chapter 2. So our theology tells us that all true disciples of Jesus Christ are connected to one another. In our practical takeaway, how does this happen in our lives? How does this happen in our church? How does this play out in a church that is full of life and vibrancy in the Spirit of God? Well, it means that we connect with one another meaningfully in our weekly gatherings like this, but also in smaller gatherings. And our fellowship and our gathering is rooted in one thing, one main thing, that you know Jesus Christ and I know Jesus Christ, and that's the basis of our fellowship. It's not that you like the color blue and I like the color blue, so let's hang out together because we both like the color blue. That's not what it is. It's that our fellowship is rooted in Jesus Christ. So write this down. True disciples of Jesus Christ connect with one another regularly and intentionally, devoted to, we're going to get really specific here from our text, devoted to what? Devoted to, number one, devoted to God's word. Devoted to God's word. Notice verse 42 again. And they devoted themselves, they committed themselves, they never gave up on the apostles' teaching. And other translations say the apostles' doctrine. The word doctrine means beliefs or set of beliefs that are taught. What did it mean to connect in the early church? It meant that they were committed to continual growth in God's word. Listen, key word, together. Together. Not by themselves in a corner, but together. That was key. Now on the screen for you, you have to understand that the words of Jesus Christ would have been ringing in their ears at this point. And Jesus said in John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. These words of Jesus Christ are ringing in their ears. Abide in me and my words, let my words abide in you. That's why the early church wasn't gathering together around a bowl of chips and a movie. They weren't like sitting here like, this is fun. Let's eat chips together and just hang out. That's fellowship. No, that's not fellowship. They were gathered together, not by themselves, regularly and intentionally devoted to God's word, because Jesus said to them, whoever abides in me and my words abide in them, you can ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. He's communicating to them how they're going to carry out their mission, how they're going to carry out the mission with power and with the authority of Jesus Christ. His words needed to be remaining in them. And so the early church was a community of believers who were clinging to the words of Jesus Christ. Clinging. They were laying down their lives to obey the words of Jesus Christ. They found strength and courage and direction and power and boldness from the words of Jesus Christ. And that's why they devoted themselves to the teaching, because they wanted to know what God's word said. They wanted to know what God's word had for them, how God's word would direct them. You got to picture this. 3,000 people, but they're gathered together in many different groups, no doubt, and in large group setting around God's word. Every true disciple of Jesus Christ invests time, listen, with the community in God's word. So here's my question for you. Do you have that in your life? You say, I know Jesus. I've been following Jesus for a long time. I gave my life to him. I repented of my sin. I put my trust in him. Wonderful. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. But the Bible shows us true disciples of Christ invest time, specifically in our passage, are devoted to God's word together. Do you have that in your life? Are you with other people regularly and intentionally in God's word? An organization called Bibles for China managed to bring thousands of Bibles into China. And I read an article, and this was the headline. Chinese Christians starved for God's word received Bibles, for many their first. And it goes on to say, earlier this month, the group Bibles for China distributed some 20,000 complete Bibles in Mandarin to Chinese believers hungry for God's word, according to the Mission Network News report. Some of the Bible recipients had been following the Lord Jesus for 40 years in the rural areas of China without any access to scriptures whatsoever. There's a little clip on the screen for you of what it looked like for them to receive these Bibles.
这是我们教会这个时候最需要的，真是我们最需要的书。
You see how, I just want you to get this. I just want you to get this. Did you see their faces? Did you see the tears? Did you see how they got their Bibles and they were holding it, holding it? Some of them had never had a Bible before and they were holding it, cherishing it, clinging to it. Why? Because the strength of Christian community is not gathering together around, as I said, it's not gathering together around a bowl of chips. It's not gathering together around a television set. It's not gathered together around going on a field trip. The strength, loved ones, the joy, the unifying power of a biblical community is our gathering together around God's word. And some of us have 10 Bibles. And they're somewhere, and you don't even know where they are, and they're collecting dust. And some of us, we have our Bibles, but we take it so loosely. We don't even understand what it means that we hold the living Word of God in our hands. The early church is marked by and characterized by a gathering together around the apostles' teaching and God's Word. And I will ask you one more time, do you in this church, or if you're visiting with us, do you have this in your life? Do you have regular and intentional times where you are gathered together with other believers and you are in God's word? True disciples of Jesus Christ must connect in a community of people who are resolved to continue in God's word, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Secondly, I want you to write this down. True disciples of Jesus Christ connect with one another regularly and intentionally, devoted to God's word. Secondly, true disciples of Jesus Christ connect with one another regularly and intentionally, devoted to, watch this now, large and small group gatherings. Large and small group gatherings. Notice verse 32. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostle teaching and the fellowship. The word fellowship here means participation, communion, sharing, and having something in common. On the screen for you, J.I. Packer wrote this, and this is important for us to understand. Christian fellowship is a family activity of God's sons. It is first a sharing with our fellow believers the things that God has made known to us about himself, in hope that we may thus help them know him better and so enrich their fellowship with him. Fellowship is secondly a seeking to share in what God has made known of himself to others as a means of finding strength, refreshment, and instruction for one's own soul. In fellowship, one seeks to gain as well as to give. And what we need to see is in the New Testament church, they were devoted to gathering together around the Word of God, but they were devoted to the fellowship, to the gathering. What is fellowship? Is that we gather together based on one common thing we have. It's Jesus Christ. That's what brings us together. Doesn't matter what your hobbies are and what my hobbies are. Doesn't matter I like basketball and you like bowling. It doesn't matter. We have Jesus in common. That's the basis and foundation of fellowship. So I say that to say every single person in this room who knows Jesus Christ, you can have fellowship with one another. Regardless of your interests, your hobbies, your age, your race, your socioeconomic background, it doesn't matter. You know Jesus. You can fellowship with anyone else who knows Jesus. For the purpose of sharing who Jesus is to us and what he's teaching us and what he means to us and receiving that from someone else as well. They were devoted to this kind of fellowship in large and small groups. Now notice verse 46. Jump down to verse 46. It says this, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Notice that they regularly and intentionally attended the temple together. Notice that. This was the larger setting for prayer and for worship. We call that gather time. They regularly and intentionally attended the temple gathering together. Loved ones, this is a beautiful gathering that we have the privilege of participating in each week. But notice also, that they regularly and intentionally broke bread in their homes. This was much smaller settings. It's what we call here group time. They were gathered in groups. Listen, the church is 3,000. It quickly becomes 5,000 in the book of Acts. It quickly becomes 20,000 and more and spreading throughout the world. They're not just gathering as 20,000 people in one room. The temple can't even hold that many people. You have to understand that in the New Testament church, they were committed to gathering, both attending the temple in larger groups, but also in smaller group gatherings. Why? Because they devoted themselves to the fellowship. Because to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, you must connect with other believers. You must. You say, well, I don't have time. I'm not sure how I can make it work in my schedule. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You cannot be a disciple if you're not connected. It contradicts the theology of one body with many members. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus is the head of the body. We are all individually members of the body. We are all connected. The analogy cannot break down. And so, do you have this kind of fellowship in your life? The earliest Christians saw large and small group gatherings as absolutely essential to the life of all true disciples, to sharpen one another and to be sharpened in Christ. On the screen, J.R. Packer went on to say the following. He said, Christian fellowship is an expression of both love and humility. I love this. It springs from a desire to bring benefit to others, coupled with a sense of personal weakness and need. It has a double motive, the wish to help and to be helped, to edify and to be edified. It has a double aim, to do and to receive good. It is a corporate seeking by Christian people to know God better through sharing with each other what individually they have learned of Him already. Every true disciple of Jesus Christ must connect because we are all one body. It's not when I feel like it. It's not when it works for me. It's not when it fits in my schedule. Every true disciple of Jesus Christ has made it their aim to connect with the body in one way, shape, or form, certainly in large group gatherings and, of course, in smaller group gatherings. Of course. Maybe you're in this church and you've never been part of a small group before. I'm just telling you, you need it. You need it. Some people in the church, they think to themselves, well, I don't know that many people here. You need a small group. You need people around you who know you and who know your needs and who are praying for you where you can have fellowship with. You need that. It's not a luxury. It's a necessity for the Christian life. Every true disciple of Jesus Christ must have this in their lives in some way. In some way, I understand that sometimes it's very difficult, but in some way, we have to have this fellowship in our lives. I'm just telling you. Because without this kind of fellowship, it's impossible for us to be for one another what God's word commands us to be for one another. It's impossible. And so I'm going to give you at least six commands that you cannot obey outside of close community and fellowship. Six commands that you will not be able to obey unless you are in close, intentional, regular connection with the body of Christ. Number one, love one another, Jesus said in 1 John 4:7-21. You say, well, I can love people. No, you can't love each other in the body the way Jesus wants you to love each other if you're not together. You can't. It's impossible. You say, well, I think I'm a pretty loving person. That may be so, but you can't love each other the way God wants you to, the way God intends and has designed you to, unless you're connected to the body or a small group community. Secondly, forgive each other. Well, if you're not around each other, you're not going to offend each other to be able to forgive each other. And the Bible instructs us when there's an offense, when there's a challenge, when there's a difficulty, that we ought to forgive each other. But this is irrelevant to the person that is totally excluded from any kind of fellowship. And we are commanded to love one another, to forgive one another, serve one another. How can you serve people you're not with? You say, well, I serve on Sunday morning. That's good, wonderful, praise the Lord. We love you, we need you. You're an amazing part of the body. But some of the best serving that happens is in a living room somewhere in this city where there's 8 to 10 people gathered around God's word in fellowship. And I'm telling you, the things that I'm hearing that are happening in our small groups, that's serving each other at a new level that maybe some in this room have never experienced before. You can't obey that outside of community. Fourth, submit to one another. How can you do that outside of community? You can't. You need to be together. Encourage one another. How can you do that? Remember Hebrews 10, 24 to 25? Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. And earlier in 24, consider how you can stir one another on towards love and good works. Encouraging each other all the more as the day draws near. Well, Jesus is coming back. We live in urgent days. These are difficult days that we live in. How can we encourage each other if we're not together? That's why the writer to the Hebrews says, don't stop meeting together, because you need to be together in order to encourage each other. And if you're not together, you can't encourage each other. Do you have that in your life? And the final one, be devoted to one another. Romans 12, 10, be devoted to one another. Well, we display that we are not devoted to each other the way God wants us to, the way God has called us to be, outside of a community of people, a small group of people that can keep us accountable, that we are devoted to. When they're hitting a rough patch in their life, we're devoted to you. We're here. We're with you. Listen, church is not simply come sit in the service and leave. It's not. Church is not come. There's lots of programs here for your kids. That's not what church is. Church is this. This is what it is. Love one another. Forgive one another. Serve one another, submit to one another, encourage one another, be devoted to one another. This is what we see happening in our small groups, and they are multiplying. People are being what God wants them to be for each other in ways that is not possible apart from community. And so what we must see today is that the context of all of these commands is a community of believers, where we're meeting regularly and intentionally as the body of Christ. The early church models for us a deep understanding of what it means to follow Jesus, and I wonder if so many of us in the Western world, we've lost sight of it. We have no idea what it is to follow Jesus. I'm just telling you what God's word shows us. To follow Jesus is to abide in Christ and to connect with the body. That's what it means to follow Christ. On the screen, look at Ephesians 4, 15 to 16. It says this: we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Watch this: from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds up in love, is built up in love. How can we become, a mature church? How can we grow up into maturity, into Christ, who is the head of the body? How can we do that? Well, we function as the body, each member functioning as they ought to function, so that we do these things: love one another, serve one another, submit to one another, be devoted to one another, encourage each other, all of these things so that we can grow up into the head. And listen, I want so much for our church to be a church constantly growing up into maturity. And in order for that to continue to happen, it's happening, but for it to continue to happen, you must connect with the community of believers. You have to. I mean, I don't see any other way around it. In some way, in some form, you have to connect. There's no other way around it. I just don't see another way in Scripture. There's no lone rangers. We want to grow up into maturity. We need to understand that growing up into maturity is a community project. It is. So the people around you, you need them, they need you, and we all need Jesus as his body, and he is the head. Are you in community? Are you connected with people in some way that are in this church? Are you doing life together? Are you serving one another? Or look back at this week. How much of this week, just this week alone, were you alone? Just by yourself? You had some things going on, nobody to really bounce it off of. Nobody's praying for you. Nobody's opening God's word with you. Are you alone? Growing up into maturity is a community project. We're seeing such great unity in this place. And it's only going to continue, I believe, as you embrace these truths. True disciples of Christ must connect with one another regularly and intentionally, devoted to God's word, to large and small groups. Thirdly, true disciples of Jesus Christ connect with one another regularly and intentionally, devoted to remembering the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. To remember. The early church was a Christ-centered church. 42 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. The breaking of bread is a reference to celebrating the Lord's Supper. That's what it is. Not eating food. It's the Lord's Supper. And perhaps what was called a love feast. They would gather for a love feast. They would eat, but they would participate in the Lord's Supper as well. Remember the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And so when we do this together here, church, when we do this in our large gathering, and when we do this in our small groups at times, it's not a small deal. This is what the early church was devoted to remember Jesus Christ, to be so centered on Jesus Christ, to make sure that the idolatry surrounding us is not pulling us away, that we are centered on Jesus and the cross and Christ crucified for our sins, that we would know that we are redeemed by him. There's no idol of this world that can save me. So many of us are getting pulled away. We're getting pulled away by so many different things. We need to come back to Jesus regularly and intentionally and remember the Lord's Supper. It's a big deal when we do this. Never take it lightly. Remember that the next time we gather in this room to participate in the Lord's Supper, remembering, Jesus told us to remember the death, his death until he returned. That's all I'm going to say about that. Next, true disciples of Jesus connect with one another regularly and intentionally, devoted to God's word, to large and small group gatherings, to remembering the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And finally, we're going to end here. We're going to end on this. True disciples of Jesus Christ connect with one another regularly and intentionally, devoted to, here it is again, seeking God's face in prayer. Why does Jason keep talking about prayer? Why does Jason keep telling us about the prayer meeting? Man, I wish that guy would stop telling us about... I get it, Jason. I understand. I can go on the website. I get it. Why does Jason keep telling us about the prayer meeting? Why? Because I keep reading my Bible. Because every page I turn, I find prayer, 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 dependence on the Lord. He is everything. We are nothing. That's the early church. They're dependent upon him in prayer. Why is Jason so thrilled that so many people filled a room for our last prayer meeting? Why? Because this is what characterizes the lives of true disciples in community. We are not depending on our own strategies. We're not depending on our own skills or our own abilities. We're not depending on the gifting of a preacher or musicians to see the gospel advance. We depend upon the name of Jesus Christ. He is the only one we depend on. And we need him so desperately. That's why Jason keeps telling you, we must be a church of prayer. We must. I'm not going to stop saying that, loved ones, because we need him. And you are understanding this, and you are getting this. And yet there are more and more people in this room that I'm calling you. I'm calling you to come. I'm calling you to be a man or a woman of prayer. I'm calling you to devote yourself with us to the gathering for prayer, because God is doing powerful things. Listen, I can tell you so many things that God is doing even in the last 2 weeks, the people being saved, lives being changed. I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you, people are being saved. Why? Because God is doing an awesome thing. He is. And more of us need to get on this page, because it's the praying church that knows the power of God. It's the praying church that carefully discerns the will of God. It's the praying church that witnesses radical conversions. It's the praying church that increases independence and humility. It's the praying church then that consequently finds God's favor, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. I love our prayer meetings, because I look around and lots of people crying out to the Lord in humble dependence. The prayer meeting is for people who understand how much they need him. I was so encouraged this week in hearing about our small group gatherings. And last week, we had the great opportunity to commission elders in our church, new elders being installed in our church. And I heard that in a couple of the small groups, they just gathered and they prayed. They prayed and they prayed, and people told me that was such a beautiful, precious time for them. We don't know what we're missing. We want to do things on our own. We want to go our own way. We don't know what we're missing by coming to the gathering and worshiping Christ and seeking his face and saying, Lord, I don't want anything from you. I just want to look at you. I want to adore you. I want to worship you. I want to seek all that you have for me. I'm tired of doing things my own way. I want you and all that you have for me in my life and in this church. More, please, more. More people having that heart. More people, Lord, that's our prayer. And at our prayer meeting, we pray for more prayer because we need him. C.H. Spurgeon said this, it's on the screen for you. I know of no better thermometer. I love this. It's in my Bible. I cut it out. I pasted it right here. I taped it right here. I'll read it to you. I know of no better thermometer to your spiritual temperature than this, the measure of the intensity of your prayer. It's a spiritual thermometer. And I believe that we can check the spiritual temperature of our church by looking at the prayer meeting. Not this meeting, not this. I love you. I love that so many people are here. I love this. That so many great things are happening. But when I go to the prayer meeting, I can check the temperature. How's it going? How are we doing? And the temperature is good. The temperature is hot. But we're turning it up. We're turning it up for the glory of God, for the sake of the mission of God. In this city and beyond around the world, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And the prayers. And if you're in this room today and you're tired of doing things on your own, I'm just telling you, you need to become a man or woman in the posture of prayer. It's not a rule, it's not a ritual, it's not an obligation, it's not a ceremony, it's a heart that understands that I am nothing, he is everything. And so we give him our lives. Now, watch this. We're going to wrap up. What happens to the church that's committed to regular and intentional community in God's word? What happens? What will happen here? What happens? Notice verse 43 to 45. It says, and awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. This is an absolutely phenomenal, phenomenal picture of the church. Notice the perspective, awe and amazement. Awe and amazement. Notice the unity and generosity. All who believed were together and had all things in common. Generosity and unity, not fighting, not backbiting, not this is mine and that's yours, unity and generosity. Notice the sacrificial giving, selling their possessions, distributing the proceeds to all, it says, as any had need. Now notice verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day, those who were being saved. God has a sovereign plan for his church. God has a mission that we are the extension of, the redemption of many souls. There are many souls in this city that belong to him. There are people in your workplace, perhaps, that need to be reached by him. We need to be strengthened. We need to be rejuvenated. We need to be renewed. We need to understand that small and large group gatherings are where we need to be regularly in God's word, in prayer, in fellowship. And so I'm going to ask you one last time before I get ready to close. Do you have that in your life? Do you have it? Because listen, God loves you. God wants to use you. God wants to strengthen you. You don't know what you're missing. There's stuff God wants to do in you. Do you understand? Do you have that? Maybe you're sitting here, you're saying, I don't. Well, we want to give you opportunity in this church to have that. We're doing everything we can in this church to multiply our leaders and multiply our groups. We can't multiply our groups fast enough for the amount of people that are responding. Praise God. Praise God. But we're working hard to make opportunities available for you to get connected in this church. Let me give you your next step. If you're sitting here right now and you're thinking to yourself, I don't have that, Jason, and I want that. You need to attend our next step two class. You need to attend our next step two class. If that's you, you need to attend step two. I think there's a slide on the screen for you. Step two, I think it's happening on December the 3rd, Saturday, December the 3rd. Step two is happening Saturday, December the 3rd at our church office. It's a two-hour class where I'll be there. I'll walk you through our doctrine, our theology, and who we are really quickly and how we follow Christ in this church and how you can then get plunged into a life-giving community of your own. You need to register for this class. If you're sitting here and you're saying, I don't have that, Jason, and I need it, you need to register for this class online. You need to do it or at the Connections desk. You need to do that. You need to get there, and you need to let us help you get this sense of community in your life. Now, you may be here thinking to yourself, I'm not even sure if I'm going to attend this church for much longer. I'm not sure if this is the church for me. I'm kind of exploring it. We get a lot of people like that. Well, good news for you too. We have a step one happening today after church. Step one happening today after church is a place where we get to meet. You can meet me and the leaders and the staff in this church. There's lunch provided. We'll share very briefly about who we are and what kind of church we are. We'll give you an opportunity to ask questions. We just really want to meet you. It'll give you a chance to say, yes, that's the church I want to be at, or no, I need to go elsewhere. We can point you to so many other great churches. We can. But if you're wondering if this is the place for you, get to step one after the service at our office, 1255 the Queensway, for lunch. Lunch is ready, waiting for you there. But if you're here and you're thinking, this is my home, step two is for you. Okay? I'm going to pray right now. And I don't want anyone to move. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Nobody move. I'm going to pray for you right now because this is such a crucial moment, perhaps, in the life of many people here. Nobody move if you don't have to. If you have to, that's fine. I'm going to pray for you right now. Lord Jesus, I pray for every single person in this room. Lord, I thank you that you know each one. You love each one. And you know the plans you have for each one. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone in this room, Lord, that can honestly say they don't have community in their life, they don't have fellowship in their life, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, you would move upon their hearts, that they would be at our next step two class. And they would learn, they would grow, they would be placed where you want them. They would find the safety of being in the body of Christ. They would experience the joy of what that means. I pray, Lord, that you would do a great work in our midst. Whether it's joining a small group or getting connected to one of our discipleship classes. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would move us all to want to be people living out the life of a true disciple. And so it's group time. It's group time. It's time to get connected with a group of people who know us, who love us, who will pray for us. Lord, I pray many, many would respond, who are on the fringes of this church. They would come and get connected into the core, and they would find their lives being strengthened like never before. Would you do that, Lord, in this place? Would you do that in the hearts of many people? If there are visitors here that are feeling the same thing, that as they go back to their churches, they would connect in a meaningful way there, Lord, I pray. Would you have your own way, Lord? Have your way. In Jesus' name, we pray. If you agree, say amen.